Glad that you're here. Got some that's here this morning and I know don't feel like being here. Nathan hadn't had a very good week, but he's here. Frida hadn't had a very good week and she's here, and I know Mary Frances. And I really don't think she would have been here if she'd been here last week. She just said, "I just hated to miss two Sundays in a row." But she's really not feeling any better than she was last week. But anyway, she's here and we're glad that she is. Maybe others in the audience this morning that don't feel the very best. But nevertheless, we're glad that you're here. One of the things that I find in our society today, in Christian society, generic Christian society, I should say, is that there are people that believe, people that claim Christianity, that believe that Jesus is going to come back to this earth, but not in the same way that the Bible describes it. This is called the doctrine of premillennialism. Now, that's kind of a 50-cent word, doesn't mean a whole lot to a lot of people. A millennial, really, it means a thousand years. Millennium is 1,000 years. And pre, of course, means before. So the idea of this doctrine is that before there's the real judgment, and before there's the real heaven, before all of these things happen, that Jesus is going to come back to the earth, that he's going to go back to the old city of Jerusalem, and that he's going to literally sit on a throne in the city of Jerusalem, and that he is going to be there for ruling his kingdom for 1,000 years. Literally 1,000 years. And at the end of that 1,000 years, then all of these things are going to happen that the Bible describes. Only then will they be the judgment. And only then will heaven start, or eternity start. And that is not what the Bible teaches at all. There are many today, even in the Church of Christ, that adopt this. There's a large church in Louisville. That their name is Church of Christ, right over the door, and that's what they teach, that's what they preach. And there are many today in our society, right here in Warren County, that are teaching the same thing. It doesn't have to be Church of Christ. There's many others that teach the same doctrine. This morning, what we're going to present to you is what the Bible teaches on this. I've got an awful lot of scripture, but sometimes I get a little heavy on the scripture. And so I'll try not to just wear you out with too many scriptures this morning. You've heard me say many times, if you've been going to church here very long, that the Bible really has three messages. All the Bible, Old Testament and New, three basic messages. The Old Testament tells us that Jesus is coming. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the first chapter of Acts tell us that Jesus is here. And then from Acts chapter 2, all the way through the rest of the Bible, that is through the book of Revelation, it tells us that Jesus is coming again. Now this third part is what we want to focus on this morning. Jesus is coming again. And very few people, I believe, that are Christians would argue that. Very few people would say, "Well, I don't believe Jesus is coming back." And you know, there were some people, religious people, at the time that the New Testament was being written and it's addressed. We've been studying some of it in John. We've just finished the two epistles of Peter. The Apostle Paul addressed this, that there were people in that day that didn't believe in the resurrection, that Jesus was not coming again. They didn't deny that Jesus had been here, but they said he's not coming back. And so if there was no resurrection of Jesus, then there wouldn't be any resurrection from him either. And when the Apostle Paul addressed that, he said, "Then what good is it if we do anything else? What's the use of preaching? What's the use of anything, religiously speaking, if all that's going to happen here on this earth is we're going to be born, we're going to live, and like a dog, we're just going to die and rot?" That's the essence of what he's saying. But there is going to be a resurrection, because the scripture tells us that there's going to be. So I'm broken this down this morning in seven parts, and we're going to briefly study each one of them. But before we do that, I want to read you something from Acts chapter 1. This is the part that I told you that Jesus is coming again. And here's what these three verses tell us. Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 9. And when he had spoken, speaking of Jesus, and when he had spoken these things, while they, the apostles, beheld, he, Jesus, was taken up in a cloud, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Just kind of like what we see on the screen up here this morning. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he, Jesus, went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." So he tells us, now these angels tell the apostles, and of course it certainly applies to us, that Jesus ascended into heaven, that he's going to come back the same way he ascended. And we'll get over into Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul, the apostle there, writing to the church at Thessalonica, sort of enlarges on this a little bit. And he gives us some additional information. But it indicates that Jesus is going to come back in the clouds, as Ryan has put this on the board this morning. And that the dead in Christ shall rise first. He's going to raise us up from the dead, and that we'll meet him in the clouds. And it indicates to us that Jesus is never, 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 never again going to set his foot back on this earth. Never mind that he's not going to literally sit in a chair or on a throne in the city of old Jerusalem in what today is known as Israel, disputed by some that are living in that area today, and literally reign there for 1,000 years as a king sits on the throne today. Well, then that prompts the question, why is Jesus coming back? Now, we've established that he is coming back. We've got plenty of scripture for that. So why is Jesus coming back? What's his purpose for coming back? If Jesus is not going to sit on a throne, a literal throne in the city of Jerusalem, why is he coming back? And I thought it'd be interesting to tell some of the reasons why he's not coming back. A lot of people have misgivings about this or misunderstandings about it. Well, the first thing that I could think of is Jesus is not coming back to die for sin. Now, I'm going to say this morning in fairness that I haven't met anybody that believes or teaches that Jesus is coming back to die for sin. Surely we understand that Jesus came to this earth. Remember the message now. Jesus is coming. Jesus is here. Jesus is coming again. Jesus did come, and when he was here, he died for sin. That was his reason for coming to this earth. Second time Jesus is coming, coming back to this earth, he's not coming to die for sin. I counted 13 times in the New Testament that tells us that Jesus came and he died for sin. The scripture will say something like this: Jesus died for the ungodly. Jesus died for sin. Jesus died for us. Jesus died, Jesus died, Jesus died. And every one of those goes back to he came to die for sin. Not his own sin, because he didn't commit it, but he came to die for our sin. Now Jesus has accomplished that, so Jesus is not coming back to this earth to die for sin again. The Bible says that he died once for sin. And so Jesus is not going to die twice for sin. He just died once for sin. So Jesus is not coming back to die for sin. That's not why Jesus is coming back. Neither is Jesus coming back to establish his kingdom. Now right here's where we start parting company. There's a lot of people today that don't believe Jesus has got a kingdom out here on this earth. That's why he's coming back. He's coming back to establish his kingdom in the city of Jerusalem, set on a literal throne. And that's why he's coming back. But in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, and all the proof that I have is in the Bible. I don't have any proof from man. 90% of the time, man don't know what he's talking about anyway. God always knows what he's talking about. So in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus shared with his apostles just prior to this happening. He said, upon this rock, that is the rock being Peter's statement that Jesus was the Son of the living God. He said, upon this, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Scripture goes on to point out that this church, and nobody knew what a church was because there never had been a church before. And Jesus explained that it's another word for kingdom. And so when Jesus talked about the church a lot of times, he would use the word kingdom. Now maybe that's confusing to some people, but when you get over into the book of Ephesians, it's not called the church nor the kingdom either one. It's called the body of Christ. And so we can think of it as being the church, we can think of it as being the kingdom, we can think of it as being the body. Now the apostles knew what a kingdom was. They know what a church was, but they knew what a kingdom was. And so Jesus used that term often. And they'd say, Jesus, tell us more about this kingdom, this church that you're going to establish. Because they didn't know what it was. They never seen one before, never had been one. And so Jesus would explain, and sometimes he'd speak in parables. And so Jesus established his church. Now, when he said this in Matthew chapter 16, and verse 16, he said, upon this rock I will build my church. I will build future tense. He hadn't done it yet. But he said, I'm going to. And then, as we have already discussed in the first part there this morning, he died for our sins. And the New Testament writers go on to tell us that he purchased the church with his blood. Or you might say he purchased the kingdom. Or you might say he purchased the body. All of these terms are interchangeable. So Jesus did establish his church. Now, we read this morning out of Acts chapter 1, and I put Acts chapter 1 with those first four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That was the message that Jesus was here. At the end of those four Gospels, all four of them tell us about Jesus' crucifixion. They tell us about his death, burial, and resurrection. And here this book is telling us about Jesus going back to heaven again. And then these two angels appearing to them and saying, now y'all saw Jesus leave, he's coming back. Same way he left, he's coming back. So that's what this scripture tells us right here. Then if you wait till the next page in the Bible, it is in my Bible anyway, after Acts chapter 1, there's Acts chapter 2, and this is when the church was established. Jesus said, I will build my church, and it comes to fruition. That is, it comes true in Acts chapter 2. But Jesus has already gone back to heaven by now. That is, in the sense that man would think of it. See, they literally saw him raising into heaven. Now, Jesus has already told us that even though he ascended into heaven, that he's still with us in spirit. He says this about himself. He says, where two or three are gathered together, and we got 78, where two or three are gathered together, there will I be in the midst of you. Now, Jesus didn't literally come down out of the clouds this morning and walk in the door like you and I did, and is here in person in the flesh, but he's here in spirit. And Jesus lives every day of our lives with us in the Spirit. Jesus is not coming back to establish his kingdom. He's already done that, just like he's already died on the cross for our sins. Kingdom's already established. There is no need for Jesus to sit on an earthly throne. But people take comfort from this because here's why they want to believe this. Many people believe this because if you did not do what the Scripture tells you that you must do in order to be saved, if you did not complete that obedience, then you get a grace period during this 1,000-year reign. And you better make sure you get it done that time. Some of them believe that. Be sure you obey it this time, because you missed your first chance, but now you're going to get another chance. The Bible does not preach that. It does not teach that. The chance that you've got is the chance that you're living right now. And it is a somber and sober message. If you want to go to heaven, you better be preparing for it, just like we talked about last Sunday. You better be preparing for it now. You are not going to get another 1,000 years to make a different decision than you made while you had on this earth. Jesus is not coming back the second time to establish His church. He's already established it, and we're part of it right now. And this is the only church it'll ever be, and this same church will go into heaven again, whenever Jesus goes back this second time. Part number 3. Why is Jesus coming again? Bible says that He's coming again to raise the dead. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 6. To raise the dead. Now, people have got different theories and different ideas about this second coming of Christ, the premillennial doctrine. Some don't think that the dead will be raised. And this argument that we just made a few minutes ago about having a second chance, they don't get a second chance. They just stay dead until the 1,000-year reign is over, and then this happens. That's another one of the theories that man's got. The Bible does not teach that. The Bible teaches us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 6 that when Jesus comes back to this earth, that the dead in Christ shall be raised first. And that we will meet Him in the air. Now, I've never heard anybody say that who believed in the premillennialist doctrine. But I'm wondering, I don't know, and again, I'm not making fun from that point, but I'm asking the question, if He meets us in the air, the saints, is He going to bring us back to earth? And if so, then why should we leave the earth to go in the air and then come right back to earth? That don't make any sense to me at all. And yet some have that theory that we're coming back to earth. And I suppose that we'll stand around the big chair that Jesus sits in the city of Jerusalem, waiting for that 1,000 years to expire. But this scripture tells us, many, many other scriptures that we could use this morning, this scripture says that we will meet Him in the air. Point number 4. Jesus is coming back. Why is Jesus coming again? Jesus is coming to judge mankind. With the same scripture that we used last week, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Now, if the judgment is going to happen, when is it going to happen? Why is Jesus coming again? He's coming to judge mankind. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 13 especially, one of those scriptures. The Bible specifically tells us that this is the reason that Jesus is to return, is to judge mankind. And in that scripture it talks about the books being open. And here is a major book. I have come to believe that this is the book. It says a book shall be open, and the book shall be open, and man will be judged out of the book. Well, this is the only book that God ever gave us. And God is a true God. God is a loving God. God is a fair God. He's a just God. Why would God judge us out of some book that He never gave us that we don't know what's in it? But He did give us this book. And we are to read this book, we're to love this book, we're to study this book, we are to obey this book, and so this is one God's going to judge us out of. Not by any book that man ever wrote, or any creed that man ever wrote. So God's going to judge the dead, He's going to judge mankind, and He's going to judge us out of the book. And He also tells us that by the deeds that we've done. Of course, those deeds, whether or not that they match what the book says. Point number 5. Why is Jesus coming again? He's coming again to destroy the earth. Not long ago, I heard a man say, some of you heard the same man say, well, God's coming again. I believe that God's coming back to earth, but the earth's not going to be destroyed. The earth's not going to be destroyed. He said, no, he said, my idea of the way that the earth's going to be, this fire that's going to be on earth, it's going to be like where you set a broom sage field of fire. And it burns off, and then the new grass comes up behind it, and you just start all over again. But now here's what Peter says about it. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 says that it's going to pass away. That is, the heavens, talking about the atmosphere, it's going to pass away with a great noise, and it will melt with fervent heat. Does that sound like burning broom sage feel off? The whole earth is going to melt with fervent heat, and it's going to be burned up. I don't think it's going to be left ashes. That's all that there's going to be. Now, how people can read that and say, well, it's just going to be like you burn the broom sage feel off and you start all over again, that's another story. Yeah, I sure can't get that out of it. And I think to get that out of it, you got to want to get that out of it, and you got to sort of make up the story as you go along. I'm going to take Peter's word for it, because Peter is an inspired writer who was directed by the Holy Spirit to write what he writes. And I believe that the earth is going to be destroyed. And the only reason I believe that is because the Bible says that. Why is Jesus coming again? He's coming back to destroy the earth. Not to sit on a physical seat in the city of Jerusalem for 1,000 years. He's coming back to destroy the earth. And there's not going to be anything of the earth left when he comes back. Point number 6. Why is Jesus coming again? He's coming to condemn the wicked. The wicked. Today, we are so politically correct in this generation that there are some that think that there are just very few wicked people. Very few wicked people. Let me tell you what Jesus' take on that. Jesus said that there were just a few people that's going to be saved. Relatively speaking, out of all the population of the earth, wasn't many going to be saved. Now, most people's idea is backwards. Most people think nearly everybody's going to be saved. Just a few are going to be lost. Now, that's politically correct. Almost everybody. You've got to be a bad egg for sure in order to go to hell. Well, who's going to be in hell? Well, I guess maybe Hitler, Attila the Hun, some of the very worst serial killers but just a few people, not going to be very many people in hell. That's not what Jesus said. There's going to be a whole lot more people in hell than it is in heaven. And Jesus is coming back to condemn the wicked. I see in this life sometimes that there are people that do some pretty bad things, or they seem to do some pretty bad things. And I wonder, after the trial is over, if they really got justice. Man makes mistakes. Judges make mistakes. Juries make mistakes. Prosecuting attorneys, defense attorneys, civil law, they make mistakes. God never makes a mistake. There will not be one single person in hell that don't deserve to be there. And there will not be one single person in heaven that doesn't deserve to be there according to the judgment of God. Why is Jesus coming again? Jesus is coming to condemn the wicked. If you committed some atrocious crime while you were still here on this earth and you did not get justice for it, you'll still get it. All authority has been given to Jesus Christ. All authority. And He knows the very thoughts of our heart. He knows who's guilty and who's not guilty. He knows who's repented. And Jesus is coming back to condemn the wicked. Point number 7. Why is Jesus coming back? Why is Jesus coming back to this earth? He's coming back to deliver His kingdom. Let me read you something from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is what the Word tells us. Chapter 15, beginning with verse 51. Here's what it says. Behold, I show you a mystery. Boy, this is a mystery to a lot of people. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be all changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruptible, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And of course, the scripture goes on. Jesus is coming back to deliver His kingdom. from this world. To deliver something means to make it be in a safe condition. Now, if Jesus' church was to remain here on earth, it would melt with fervent heat just like everything else. But Jesus is not going to leave his church here on this earth. Church, not the building, it's people. But he's going to take that church with him into heaven. That's why he's coming back. He come back to get us. He's coming back to get us. Those of us that are Christians, that are doing his will, that have been obedient, that are living according to the commandments of the Bible, he's coming back to get us. He's not going to leave us here to melt with fervent heat and be destroyed and become ashes. Now, we're going to become ashes if we live here on this earth. The Bible tells us that we are. Dust goes back to dust. Ashes goes back to ashes. But this Jesus that Jesus wants, that person that Jesus aims for us to be, is incorruptible and it's immortal. He's not coming back for our ashes. He's coming back to take us as his Christians, as his children, as God's children, to heaven. Why is Jesus coming again? He's coming to deliver his kingdom. I wish that all those people that believe those things considered premillennial doctrine would just take their Bible and just be honest with themselves and read these same things. Of course, I have many more scriptures that I haven't used this morning. Many, many more. 13 times the Bible tells us that Jesus died for sin. And many of these others right here have at least that many passages that explain that. But people don't want to believe it. They want to believe what they already believe or what some person has told them. Should there be one in our audience today who is outside of Christ, ask yourself this question: am I going to heaven? If you're obedient to the Word of God, if you do what the Bible tells you to, and you try to live your life in that way, in a relationship to God that He wants you to have, the answer is yes. When He comes back, He's going to take you with Him. The other side of the coin, even though it's not politically correct, is if you don't do that, the answer is that He's coming back to destroy the earth, He's going to judge mankind, He's going to condemn the wicked. I don't take any pleasure in telling people that they're not going to be saved when they do not do what God's will is, but it's not just me. All I'm doing is repeating it because it's right here. If you're here this morning and that's your case, we hope that you'll become one of those that Jesus comes back for. He's coming back in the clouds and he's coming back to receive his own. I want you to be one of his own if you're not one of his own today. Is there something that we can do in order to help you, Brad, while we're standing, while we're sitting?